Chapter 15. The next day, Lexi was blessed with blue skies and moderate temperatures. Though it was summertime in New Hampshire and the day would probably get up into the mid-80s, the morning for the brunch would be pleasant and in the upper 70s. A perfect day for her new venture. She got to the Kingsleys early, having picked up Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, who were all dressed in crisp white aprons and carrying chef hats. At least they were taking the catering part of their mission seriously, even though Ruth had also been carrying her wetsuit, which they stored in the trunk. Lexi hoped Ruth wouldn't have an inclination to put it on. Cassie had gotten there before her and was pulling the food out of the van. Lexi left the ladies unsupervised. She was worried about the kind of trouble they could get into on their own, but her first priority was making sure the brunch went off without a hitch. She busied herself checking the tent, making sure the tables were set up where she wanted them, and helping Cassie spread the white linen tablecloths on the tables. She double-checked the food stations, making sure everything was serviceable and looked fantastic. They'd ordered little bouquets of daisies in crystal vases that they put on each of the tables where the guests would sit, and Lexi finished them off by tying raffia bows around the tops of the vases. While she scurried about getting everything set up, she noticed Nans and the ladies lingering by the mimosa table that was set up over near the part of the yard that sloped toward the pond. Lexi had purchased leg extenders for one side of the small table so that it would sit level even though the yard sloped. She wondered if the ladies' presence was because they were hatching their plan to get into the pond or if they were busy drinking mimosas. Once she was convinced everything was set up perfectly, she managed to work her way around to the edge of the yard, where she had a view of the Pendletons. No one was out, thankfully, not even the dogs. She didn't need them barking and adding an annoying element to the brunch. She sidled around, looking through the trees to get a look at the gazebo. Was the blue tarp there? She edged over to an area from which she had a clear view. The tarp was gone. "Do you see the drone?" Ida was at her side, her hands shielding her eyes, as she gazed over at the gazebo. "No. Do you think it's in there?" "Yesterday, when I was over there, I saw the dogs digging in the corner, under the wood. I was thinking maybe they had it there, but my controller didn't do any good. I need to get over there and dig." Lexi turned to look at her. "I don't think today's a good day, Ida."
"Why not? Looks like nobody's home and we're right here."
"Well, if they were home, it could cause a bit of a ruckus. And you wouldn't want to ruin my brunch here, would you?" Lexi asked. Ida's eyes softened as they flicked from the Pendletons' yard to Lexi. She patted Lexi's arm.
"No, of course not. I'll try to be on my best behavior."
And then she turned and walked away. Unfortunately, her words did not do much to make Lexi feel better. Ida's best behavior wasn't anything to feel optimistic about.
"Lexi, it looks lovely."
Caspian Kingsley and his wife Amanda stepped out from the house with wide smiles on their faces as they surveyed the area. Lexi flushed with pride, accepting the compliment. It did look pretty good, and the smell of bacon mixed with the earthy aroma of brewed coffee would surely perk even the groggiest guest up. "Thank you." Lexi gestured toward the food stations. Hot foods were first. Scrambled eggs, sausages, and bacon in warming trays. Toast, scones, Danish, and cinnamon buns were piled up on tiered servers set on a large table. Next to that, a giant fruit display boasted watermelon, pineapple, grapes, and berries. The last table rounded things out with yogurt, milk, and even some cereal for those who didn't want a big breakfast. We're ready to serve.
It's absolutely perfect. Amanda clapped her hands. And the guests will be arriving any minute.
As if summoned by Amanda's prediction, Lexi heard the faint tinkle of the doorbell chiming inside the house, and Amanda fluttered off to greet her guests. Lexi rushed behind the serving station, ready to supervise and make sure everything went off without a hitch. The next several hours kept her busy making sure the food stations remained full and the guests had everything they needed. She even managed to hand out a few business cards. To their credit, Nans and the ladies really did make themselves useful by circulating with little round trays loaded with bite-sized pieces of Lexi's breakfast pastries. Everyone thought they were charming. If they only knew they were really here trying to find a dead body, she thought. When the crowd started to dwindle, Lexi noticed Nans and the ladies edging closer to the pond. It didn't take long before they were down at the very edge, fumbling about in the weeds. Had Ruth dragged her wetsuit down there? Lexi certainly hoped she wasn't going to put it on and jump in. She was just about to head down there herself and pull them away when Ida leaned over and pointed at something at the water's edge. "That's it! Evidence!" Ida yelled loud enough for the entire neighborhood to hear. "See it?" Everyone that was left at the brunch was drawn by her words and came to the edge of the yard, peering over Lexi's shoulder. Lexi felt her earlier enthusiasm draining. The brunch had gone off perfectly so far, and she was sure people would be talking about her and recommending her catering service. Now, she hoped that wouldn't be replaced by talk of her grandmother dragging a body out of the pond. "I'll hold your arm, and you lean over and grab it," Nan said, confirming Lexi's worst fears that they'd found the body and were about to fish it out. "You could fall in. Don't you think we should call the police?" Lexi yelled. All heads swiveled toward her.
"Police?"
Caspian Kingsley had appeared beside her with a curious look on his face.
"Why would we need the police? Those dogs aren't barking."
They said they found..."
Lexi's gaze swiveled back to her grandmother and the ladies. Ida was leaning precariously over the edge of the pond. Nans and Ruth had hold of one of her arms, their heels dug into the sloping ground as they held her in place. Ida leaned over the swampy edge of the pond, her other arm outstretched to grab something that lay in the weeds.
"Got it!"
Ida held her hand up. In it was a small gold object. Lexi was relieved it was just that and not a body part. But what was it? A piece of jewelry? A ring? Hopefully not attached to a finger. Nans and Ruth hauled Ida back, and they bent their heads together to examine what Ida had in her hand. The remaining brunch crowd was now leaning over, talking excitedly, wondering what the crazy lady had. Lexi edged down the side of the yard. She was curious to see what they'd found. Maybe they were about to solve the case. "Is it?"
"Oof! Yep!"
"Hey, what are you doing?"
Rupert Pendleton came charging across the yard behind the four peekaboos. Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen turned in alarm, Ida clutching the piece of jewelry which Lexi now saw was a gold ring.
"Uh-oh," Nans said. "We've got you now."
Ida held her hand up with the ring in it. Rupert scrunched his face up.
"What are you talking about?"
His gaze flicked to Nans.
"She's the one that's senile, right?"
"Senile as a sly fox," Ida said.
"What are you people doing in my yard?"
Rupert glanced up at Kingsley.
"Have these ladies been bothering you too? They've been lurking around my place for the past week. I think we should have them arrested."
I'll have you know we are here on official business. We are catering an event for the Kingsleys. Nance gestured up the hill to where the tent and tables still stood, and everyone turned in that direction.
Lexi heard the Pendletons' squeaky sliding door open, and a woman's voice called out,
"What's going on over there?"
Everyone swiveled back to see the new arrival. Lexi's heart skittered. Were Susan and Rupert onto them and going to confront them? But if so, what could they possibly do to them with all these witnesses?
"Oh, that's the ring I lost last summer. Wherever did you find it?"
The woman reached out and snatched the ring from Ida's hand, looked it over, then slipped it on her finger.
"Now, what in the world is going on here?"
But neither Nance, Ruth, Ida, Helen, or Lexi answered her. They were speechless, because the woman in front of them was Olive Pendleton, and she was very much alive.